And so this is what we have left. Yesterday we covered the risk management one, and we covered, today we're going to talk about the going public representing the Adventist Church. And then the last three are going to be done by presenters from our conference here. So that will be nice to have them. And did you sign this one? I know I let you sign this, Veronica.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Oh, there's something else. Let me see if there's... I guess not. Oh, okay. So here's the schedule, just so you'll know what's coming. Yesterday, we already had our... Today, a going public, and then a continuation, again at 4 o'clock, of Appreciative Inquiry, Part 2. And as you can see, it sort of connected with last year, some of the things we were doing. And are there any questions on that before we talk about today? Any questions about anything? If not, we'll start. But I just want to tell you, Wednesday we're going to do essentials. Tomorrow, James Asselford is scheduled to be here from Director of ADRA Canada to do the disaster response module and urban ministries. I guess he's had a lot of firsthand experience recently with the fires. And then at 4 o'clock, we're having another staff member from our conference do finances and accountability. And then Thursday, of course, all day to Edmonton. And then Friday, we're going to finish up. Lynn McDowell is going to do the grant proposal writing at 9:30. And then at 4, we're going to have wrap-up and any stories and reports you have and so forth. We're going to do that. And I need to find out from Debbie Schwartz if we're going to give the certificates out here or mail them. Did you all get them okay last year?
Yes.
Good. So she'll decide that, I suppose. But it'll be based on the attendance. So that's the schedule. And, yeah. Any other things you're wondering about before we get into today's subject? Okay, well, take out your book here, your big red book, or if you didn't bring your book, take out the section on public relations. Good morning, Ruth, and there's a sign-up sheet here for you.
Yeah.
And I showed a video. I could show it to you later if you'd like to see it. Maybe you and Veronica. This module has not been posted online in a very finished state. The video series that you saw, learned about in the video, has it. It's all well developed and it's ready to go. And so I'm going to be going over this document with you, and this is the essence of what I really hope we can know as we deal with our community. And so it's not only about making connections with our community and working and partnering with community organizations, how our church itself comes across in the community. What's the image of our church in the community? Is a very important piece. And we did this curriculum for quite a while, and this module was actually missing. And then I heard Celeste Ryan from a Columbia Union did a really good presentation in the nonprofit leadership program that Sung Kwan does. Anybody has gone through that? And I said, we've got to have this module in our curriculum here that we do. And so she shared some materials, then you have them, and cover some of the main points that we need to consider when we think about the image of our church, especially if people are going to start coming to our church, because we've drawn attention to our church by being active in the community. And we need to think about certain things to be sure that we're making the impression that we need to make and that they are actually aware that we're there. And so before we even get into the meat of the subject, you look in the handout that says going public. If you have a pen, or I can share a pen that I might have, just it's about the fourth page in. There's a little quiz there. And this is a It's about four pages after the first cover. And it says, Public Relations Checkup for Seventh-day Adventist Organizations. And I'll just read, just so we're all together. Everybody have it, okay? I'll just read it, and then you can check if this applies to you. Yeah, Ruth, it's the second bunch of handouts that are in the red binder. It says, Going Public. Did yours have one? Yeah, there's a bunch of things that are paper clipped. It's the second one in. You got it. That's it. Right. Yeah, so find about four pages from the beginning. Yeah, it's page 7, but it's not really page 7. it's the fourth page in. Yeah, and so forth. And if you're going to be coming, are you signed? Have you signed the sheet?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Didn't want you to miss out. Okay, so here we are. So look at the first question, and if it applies to you, make a check mark there. We answer the phone using the name Seventh-day Adventist for church, office, headquarters, and school. So if you do that, put a check there. We use, number 2, we use official church letterhead with a new Adventist logo. If you do that, put a check there. And number 3, we have signage identifying our organization that uses the new Adventist logo and is easily spotted from a distance and placed in a well-lit area. If you have a really good sign that your community will be impressed by, put a check mark there. Number 4, we have brochures about the Adventist Church available in our lobby. Number 4. Number 5, we never use SDA and always use the full name Seventh-day Adventist Church, or Adventist Church for short. Number 6. Our organization is listed in all hotel directories, telephone books, and community guides published by the city or newspaper. And then number 7. We have a website that's user-friendly and provides the local community with program information, directions, and contacts. Number 8, we know our community officials, and they know us. They have been invited to our church or school functions on occasion. Check it if you do that, if that is true about your church. Number 9, we support community events at least 3 times a year with sponsorships, attendance, or appropriate communication. And then number 10, we've established and maintained contact with public media in our community. We often submit calendar information and story ideas. So tally that up and see how many points you have. How well did you do? Well, now let's see. Let's see what this means as far as your score, your public relations status. If you turn the page, and this is your rating. If you have only checked 1 to 3, or of course 0 to 3 perhaps, let's face it, you're invisible. You're there, but you're not really there. Remember last year we talked about the church in the community? It's there, but not really there. It's a fortress. It is not connected in any way with the community. And people are curious about the building they see in the neighborhood, but don't care enough to find out. Solution, come out of the closet. So that's 1 to 3. Now, if you did 4 to 7, you're like the circus. You come to town ever so often with a big tent, exotic animal ads, and ringmaster, and after the big show, you disappear again. And solution, get more involved in the community by meeting people where they are and not just when you want them to attend a tent or a DVD evangelism event. And if you've checked eight to ten of these, you're a beacon of light. And I could add your salt also. And people know you're there, you're here, and what you stand for. And solution, well, keep finding creative ways to live the Adventist mission to go to all the world. So, that cartoon there is kind of a sobering thing. My sermon this morning is, Where Have I Failed? Hey, any comments on this before we move on? Oh, dear. So let's just go through this together in the time we have left. So we have till, let's see, 9:30 to quarter 11, correct? Yeah. So this thing about name recognition, one of these, the first couple of questions there, it was about using the name Seventh-day Adventist and not hiding it. I know in some parts of the world that you have to be a little more careful about saying Seventh-day Adventist, at least at first. Some parts of the world, of course, if you're known in the community and for what you do, that is, it's perfectly good to mention Seventh-day Adventist very openly. But I sometimes think we are a little too apologetic about it. And because of that, we have these statistics here about name recognition. In 1970, Gallup polls said that 65% actually had name, they understood, they knew what Adventist meant. And 45% knew some true facts about Adventist and not some of these crazy things that you hear. And then in 1986, it went up to 70%. 70% recognized Adventist, the name, what it really was, and 49% knew true facts. Then 1994, there was another survey, this time by the Center for Creative Ministry. 52% had Adventist name recognition and 35% knew true facts. And then in 2003, you see there 56% understand what Adventists were and 33% know true facts. Well, it's probably because there's so many websites that are becoming easier to get that are put up by disgruntled former Adventists that they don't actually get to the real website, Adventist.org, to find out the real story. So there's probably more information, and so it kind of muddies the waters a bit.
Actually, I just want to make a point here. We live in a world in the day and age too where people are not doing a lot of research.
Yeah.
Because my husband, he really likes watching this thing on Fox Waters World, where this guy goes out and he'll ask people, this is the United States, he'll ask people, you know, what is the capital of such and such a state. They don't even know that. Some of them don't even know who their president is.
Mm.
You know, so it seems like we're living in a day and age where people are really not doing research or having a general knowledge about things around them.
And yet, yet there's media everywhere to learn.
There's media everywhere.
Yeah.
It could be because they're,
In our little, with our little rectangular objects that we're all affixed to. Yes. Yeah, and it's probably more things that are not very deep. Entertainment, that kind of thing, a lot of it.
From these statistics, we don't really know all the factors
that make this so. Yeah. Yeah, Arlene.
In addition to what Veronica just said, they were interviewing the younger generation, who was involved in the presidential election. They said, we don't know, we don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's their attitude.
This let me do my little thing in my own little world with my entertainment or whatever it is that we're watching on here. I don't need to know. And maybe also it's a safety measure, just to keep them from being depressed because of the news. I don't know.
Yeah.
It could be many reasons. Like I say, there's many factors for these statistics. Yeah.
But it is concerning.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is concerning.
And this is why we have to be even more proactive to get the message out of who we are. Because let's face it, we have a special calling in these end times, and the hopelessness of the world is I think it's opening the door. Sometimes when you have really bad news, people are really looking for really good news, like Elizabeth was sharing the other night, and Elder Bryant last night. And so now we're in actually this terrible situation we find around us is a wonderful opportunity, because we are people of hope.
Yes.
That's what we're known as. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just depends who it is.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to let people know we're Christians. We have to give them an accurate image. Of course, if we're working in a Muslim country, we probably wouldn't say that first.
Apparently, they're not so offended by us using Seventh-day Adventists.
No. In fact, the Muslims, many. Of course, our faith, you know, I haven't looked into every detail of every other faith community. But I believe, to my knowledge, we have the most connecting points to Muslims than other Christians would have. So, you know, we need to really...
Actually, it was interesting. One pastor that I knew, he said that Advent, when he went to seminary, there was a professor there, and he said that Adventists are a good connector between Jews and Muslims.
Yes, both. We have the most connecting points, and we have the blessed hope. And it's not just us. You know, what's in the scripture, it's not just for us, but somehow it has been discovered, and we have the privilege of sharing it. It's not any that we're smarter than anybody else. We don't have a monopoly on what's in scripture, but praise the Lord that it has been made, brought to our attention and our faith, our belief system. And we need to share it. It's, hey folks, it's there. It's been there all along. Take note. This will be the answer to your concern and your worry and the good news. Yeah, if once a preacher said, a young preacher came to an older preacher who had been getting a lot of results in his preaching, and then the young preacher said, "Pastor, what is the secret of success in your preaching that you just have such a powerful impact?" And the old preacher said, "Young man, paint it dark. Paint it dark. Make it look really bad." Huh? And then he said, "Then give them hope. Give them hope." And so the good news seems even better when we have some bad news that we're responding to. And so now we got plenty of bad news around. So the good news, the church can position itself to bring them hope. And so we need to be known. Our name recognition has to be connected with a message of hope and the abundant life in John 10:10. And that somebody said that I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly is the Adventist message in a nutshell. Because we have a holistic approach, and God just brought that to our attention, to our church pioneers, and we're just keeping the message, the legacy going, and it's a blessed responsibility to get the word out. So anyway, it has here statistics on by generation. You see, the younger generations know less and less. That top one on page 10. About what the Adventists really are, and maybe they don't care, as as you said.
Yeah.
And there's so much going on around them, they just screen some things out. And then by ethnicity, the non-Hispanic white people, it seems like they know about Adventists more. Interesting.
Yeah. I find that interesting.
Is that real wide?
Yeah.
I find that interesting that Hispanics don't know. Because yeah. There's so many Hispanics that are joining.
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure
really
the basis of that, but
I put the connotation of being that they are spiritual.
You mean the Hispanic folks? Yeah, well, they tend to be open, more open. By cultures, and I just came back from Rwanda. I was one of the preachers in the 2,227 sites over there in May. And in that culture, they're extremely open. And there's name recognition very, very strong in Rwanda because the Adventist Church is very visible.
Well, I think, what is the membership? I think it's something like 1 in 100 is an Adventist.
Yeah, it's really, before the meetings, there were 700 and roughly 750, somewhere in there, 1,000 members. And that, and Rwanda is the size of Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's smaller than Massachusetts. And after the meetings, 100,135 as of July 5th joined. So now, as you can see, it's up to 850, heading towards 1 million, in a place smaller than Massachusetts.
And a lot of countries in Africa are getting.
Yeah.
I think Zambia surpassed the
union. Yes, yes, they do. They have 2 unions now. Yeah, and it's they are. It was 1 in 17 in 2011. It's much higher now.
And Zimbabwe is up, yeah, there. Kenya as well.
So culture and ethnicity. It's related, but it's interesting in this poll that the name recognition was not as high among these other ethnic groups. What comes to mind? Something, this just quickly looking at page 11. So what comes to mind when you hear about Adventists? Well, 33% in this poll said positive ideas, and 31% said nothing. It's just... Yeah, it's a religion, 15%, and negative, 20%. And then what comes to mind specifically? The Saturday Sabbath. Of course, it's very obvious. That's the obvious thing that most people notice, that we go to church on Saturday. And you see all these other ideas. It's a religion, it's a cult, pushy, they knock on my door, and so on. Good people, vegetarians, a Christian group. And the idea, like Sister Peterson said, of letting them know we're Christians, in non-Muslim countries at least. Sometimes people don't think we're Christians because, you know, Adventists will make statements about, well, we don't believe in Easter. In other words, we don't believe in the resurrection. Yeah, that comes across, and they interpret it that way. They must not be Christian. And some Adventists, you know, don't observe Christmas. Yeah, they must not be Christian. You know, this image. We have to be careful.
We were neighbors to some in Edmonton, mm-hmm, where we lived, a young couple, and then later we'd been in the parking lot, and I was going to church, and he was there too on Saturday. He said, "Don't you keep Sunday too?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because keeping Sunday, of course, is their way of saying you believe in the resurrection if you keep Sunday. Yeah. Yeah, well, we have to clarify a lot of these things. And this is why in our community work we must have accurate information out there and name recognition, and not just that, but the name recognition is attached to an image that we are making a difference in the community and we have hope. And you see the other stats here. You can look at these later. Just some interesting stats.
That's kind of interesting that 22% know somebody who's an Adventist.
Which page is that? Okay, page 12. Do you know anyone who's an Adventist? Yeah, 22%.
So 1 in 5 do know somebody who is an Adventist.
Yeah, 1 in 5.
According to the survey.
Yeah.
And they get us mixed up with Jehovah's
Witnesses. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. Yeah, this is why we every year our church, my local church, is part of the July 4th parade, and we have a float, and we have flags all over it. Well, that is pretty clear we're not Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah, and this year we had a sing-along, a keyboard on the float, and playing patriotic songs. A young man and I were there playing patriotic songs for the whole thing, and people were singing with us along the way, and you know, hey, we're out here, we're there, and we gave out fans, and on the back of, because it's so hot on the July 4th, and on the back it had information about how different organizations in the community that we're partnering with,
So getting a float in the parade is a good thing, isn't
it? Yes. We've been doing it for years, and people expect the fans. And we give out the fans on the back. It has all the things we're doing in the community, and like when the VBS is, when we have worship, welcome, these come, and that kind of thing.
And there was a lot of really good report at the Pasadena Rose Parade.
Yeah.
It was excellent then.
Yes. So that is an exciting way to just get our name out there in a very positive. And we're making a statement. We're part of this community. And on July 4th, we're making a statement not only that we're part of this community, but we are patriotic parts of this community. And we don't fight, saluting the flag and all that. So that helps with the Jehovah's Witness image. Yeah.
All I had to do that time, though, I had a student with me.
Yeah.
And I went to do a home visit. And just because there was two of us, he wouldn't let us in.
Yeah, yeah.
One of those again.
Yes. Yeah, the Jehovah's Witnesses, I guess, need to work on their image, too. Well, we do, too, just thinking, we have a long ways to go, too.
Competition.
Yeah. Anything else about these statistics that you want to comment on before we move on? Okay. Let's look at page 15. I'm sorry, 14, sorry. Yes?
What day is your parade on?
We have it on July 4th.
Saturday? Now,
what's that?
Saturday?
A couple years it was on Saturday. Last year was Saturday, and we didn't do it because most of us were out of town. It was GC session. So we didn't do it, but a few years before when it was on Sabbath, what we did is we didn't do fans that time. We made little flags, and on the flags it had the name of our church, and then we went out before the parade started because we gave out little flags for them to wave when the floats went by, and then we all went to church. We had T-shirts on, announcing our church, and I think it had that text. Righteousness exalts a nation. We had a T-shirt with our church name on it. So we took part on Sabbath. You can do it on Sabbath. We went, like I said, among the crowd, passing out flags with our church name on a tag on the flag with some information about our church. So that's how we did it on Sabbath. We would have done.
Do you do it just then on the July 4th?
Well, we always do it on July 4th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you done it like for any other parade?
I don't know of any other parade around our area. Mm. That's the only one we've been involved in. But look around for parades. That's a perfect way to, we're talking about public relations, yeah. That's a perfect way to improve the image of your church and the community. Yeah.
I know I came in.
Go ahead. That's okay. Glad you're here.
In our community, we're a small community. My family's been there. Well, my dad's 98 and he grew mm-hmm. up there. And we've always been really involved in sports in the community and everything, but we've never ever taken part on Sabbath mm-hmm. with any of the parades or anything.
Yeah.
And I've just often wondered now if we started, like if we put, because we were asked to put a float or something in the parade. And I've just wondered if it would make people in the community wonder, well, for all those years you didn't, and then now you are. What's the change? Any thoughts on that? Or?
Well, we've rethought this, and we can see that, we can make a contribution here.
Yeah.
Maybe most of them forgot you weren't in the previous ones anyway.
No, I'm afraid not.
I mean, if they did, just don't be.
It gives an opportunity to talk because they're asking questions.
Sabbath can be, we as long as it's in line with the principles of the Sabbath, it is another platform you can stand on. We're involved every year. I could show you some pictures later, but I don't want to make it late. We are involved in the Howard County Fair every year. Of course, that involves two Sabbaths. So we're there on Sabbath, and we have, we're doing, this year the theme is family and prayer, so we're going to have a prayer box, with requests, and we have prayer with people in the past, but we're going to focus family, we're going to have literature on families and issues, and of course some religious literature too, we're going to have, but we're there on Sabbath. It's perfectly in harmony, because we're out there
mingling
and representing the Lord on Sabbath where the people are.
Yeah.
So, just factor in Sabbath, but there's still room for this connecting with the community and getting our message out. In fact, that is really in line with what the Sabbath is for. Yeah. So, any other questions? Oh, sorry, getting, distracting you.
No,
yeah, you know, grandmas have to, you know, really, really covertly show, advertise grandchildren. That's the latest one, yeah. Okay, so now how can we change this lack of name recognition of our church or misconceptions of our church? We're doing this second bunch of, second pile there that's stapled, that's paper-clipped together in your book. Well, how can we, it talks about improving, helping more people to know, just telling people, the branding. We have to, it's good to have a consistent brand. I know some churches, I can go anywhere in the world and I'll see this logo. You know, we're going to talk about the logo in just a few moments. But some churches still have some of the other one with the globe and the three angels. And some people, I've heard some people say, what are those three wasps there by the globe? What is this? And I go, well, okay, let me explain. But yeah, so, you know, but we're truly, really encouraging from the GC to have this logo consistently worldwide. And as we may, as we... you can get it online at Adventist, it's on the Adventist.org website. I can't tell you exactly where right now. Have you found it?
Yeah.
And you can download it.
Very specific guidelines of
how to use it. Yeah, because it is copyrighted.
Yeah.
And the name Seventh-day Adventist is copyrighted, so we have to be careful how we use it.
When we went to make our church sign, it told us the dimensions, which was really nice to give to the sign builders.
Yeah.
Or sign
website's right in here.
Okay, yes. Okay. Good. There we have it. So we need to work on let's just quickly go on the way to the logo, which is coming up real soon. Let's just check number page 15. The phone. The first of all, let's just talk about the phone, about raising awareness. Answering the phone is important. So actually when you answer the phone at the church, Seventh-day Adventist Church, how may I help you? Or you've reached, this is page 15, you've reached the Clarksburg Seventh-day Adventist Church, please leave a message, and so on. So having the name in our answering message is another way to use the name and get name recognition. And so you see on 16, this is the logo. And if you wondered at times, what in the world does this logo mean? Mm-hmm. And there it is, the open flame. And the open Bible, the flame, and the cross.
What's the reason that they changed it from the three angels' message?
Well, I don't know. I don't remember what year it was. Probably because for the public, they can have. It still is. That is still part of our mission statement, and we still get that in when we preach. But for the logo,
they have it here too.
And they have the three stripes. Mm-hmm. They have the three stripes. But the lines at the top of the diagram, you can see there, represent a continued upward momentum symbolizing the resurrection ascension to heaven at Christ's coming and the ultimate focus of our faith. And also, as you see, as you go down around clockwise, the flame also is formed by three lines encircling an implied sphere. The globe doesn't really show in the actual logo, but it implies there's a sphere or a globe there. And the lines represent the three angels of Revelation 14 circling the globe and are commissioned to take the gospel to the entire world. And of course, also this flame symbolizes the Holy Spirit. And so when we explain this to people, we can bring in the three angels' message. But just seeing the three angels with nothing else, with no cross, no Bible, and my people may wonder,
yeah.
And all the first impression.
Well, I think this is great because it really shows that the basis of our faith is the scriptures.
Yeah, and so you see how the Bible is
yeah.
on the bottom, and it's the foundation of our faith. And then the cross, of course, this is the gospel, this wonderful, amazing, everlasting gospel that we've been focusing on this camp meeting. It's right in the center to emphasize Christ's sacrifice, which is the central theme of our faith. Yes, I'm sorry,
okay.
Brother.
Okay. One of the things I really like, you know, about the logo, because before the logo, you know, almost every conference in the United have the VMGs.
Yeah, like
pictures,
we were talking.
You know, exactly. Even in different places in the world. And there was a confusion sometimes because there were some kind of groups that they would call Adventist Church. And then just paint or draw the three angels, and that's it. So everybody, you know, could read and say, oh, this is an Adventist material.
Yeah.
And many, many materials, you know, that they were producing, they were not from the Adventist Church.
Right.
Just print out three angels. But now this logo, this is something that is a uniform.
Yeah.
The entire globe.
And we have to.
The difference now.
Yeah. And it's a little, you know, it gives us a chance when people see it to explain it and really basically tell our whole summary of our message.
Yeah, our 28 doctrines are just in there.
Yeah, so we have to, you know, the logo is not for us. And the three angels around the globe, that's really not for us in the older signs. But we have to think, what does this mean when someone from the community looks at it? Are they going to be confused, you know? But at least this one has a cross, has a Bible, has a flame, you know, representing the Holy Spirit. Perhaps it can have a better first impression, and then it will give us an opportunity. Any other comments on the logo? And you see here the resource, visit www.adventist.org, and then all the information there. World Church, click on logo, and you can download the free logo. Okay? So that's... important piece in all this. And of course, the church sign. How's it in your community? How's your church sign look? Is it something, and then do you have other signs in throughout the, you know, at intersections, Seventh-day Adventist Church and the address? This is all part of name recognition and making ourselves known. Yes?
Yes, I have a question. Mm-hmm. In regards to for instance, we are renting a church.
Oh, yeah.
We have two churches. But one of them, you know, is renting Southeast Calgary. And United Churches, this is a big sign.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How can we go into that situation and split it, you know, into this is Adventist?
Yeah, and put your name on there. Is that what you had experience?
Do you have an idea about that? Or?
You would have to definitely talk to the church to get there. But maybe you could have a mobile sign that you could put up on Saturdays.
Yeah, I've seen different Sunday churches that have the Adventist sign somewhere, and it depends on the board of that church.
Yeah.
Has anybody else had experience with that situation, renting churches?
You can ask some of the Spanish churches in Edmonton. I don't know what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, you can work with the church you're renting from. Mm-hmm. Because my daughter's church, where she's a pastor, several denominations, it's a huge building, a huge church, several denominations rent, and there are just different signs there, mm-hmm. next to the Adventist Church sign, you know, it's okay.
And, we didn't have any sign.
Well, it just depends on, you just have to work with the renters, you know, with the owners, and just what you can do. Just, you know, sharing, we'd like it to be known that there is an Adventist presence here. And what do you think would work for this is your property, what do you suggest? And just take it. This is not a one-size-fit-all, I think, situation. Mm. Yeah. But so, how many here have a good sign that the community can really understand? And you see, most of all these signs have the official church logo. But they know you're there. That's what I mean. They know you're there, and they have the official logo on there.
We have it on two sides of our church.
Uh huh. Good. In our church, we still have the globe with the three angels, so we're going to be getting another one.
You know, it would have been nice when they started this, when they first invented this logo, if they would have sent something out to each church and explained it then.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
I mean, I'm just now finding out some of this.
Yeah, well, that's why we're having this session, in case somehow it didn't come your way yet.
It was in one of our magazine titles, because
Yeah, and online, of course. If you go to Adventist.org, it's all there. But
how long has this been
local? I don't remember.
It's been a while now.
It's been at least 15, 20, 15 years, something like that.
Yes.
All I know is that it's spread to the world. Wherever I go, in the middle of a jungle in Papua New Guinea or wherever, I see this logo. It's there. It's everywhere I go.
Well, this paper's from 2005.
Yeah, this is from 2005,
so,
yeah.
It's already 11 years for sure.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Definitely it's more than 11 years. And of course, in your lobby, having very appealing literature, what we're all about as a faith. And most of the problems that we have with our image is just plain they don't have the right information. They went to the wrong place for it. And as you meet with people in the community, they're going to be curious. Now the next one on page 19, the use of our names. Now, we all do it. We put SDA because it's a lot easier to write than Seventh-day Adventist. And you know, for in-house communications, I imagine it's okay to use SDA. But when you're working with your community, people are going to say, the author of these materials wrote a book called What's an SDA? You see it there. People don't know what's an SDA.
The thing is, when you just use abbreviations, there's SDA, there's LDS, there's, you know, it's really easy to get confused.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And SDA has other connotations. Something Dietetic Association. I forget what the S was. Yeah. And even ACS has issues. ACS could be American Cancer Society, you know, or other things. So when we're communicating with outside of our faith community, we need to spell out the whole name or use Adventist if we don't have a lot of room. And so that's pretty straightforward. Any other questions on that one? Any comments?
You know, verbal communication. Yeah. Sometimes we talk among our members, you know, when you're a preacher or doing something, an announcement, or doing something else, you know, we have someone, and they don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, we have our own language, don't
yes,
we? Adventese, it's
yes,
called.
Yes, exactly. We have our own language.
Have you seen, so we have to really evaluate when someone, especially when you get more involved in the community and people start coming, when they walk into your church, is it like they're hearing a foreign language? We use all these things, general conference, even haystacks, the spirit of prophecy, or, you know, what in the world are they talking about? You know, we have to remember.
The after service.
Yeah. I mean, what are some other ones that you think of that are foreign language that need to be translated?
Well, even just Sabbath sometimes. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, people are like, what's Sabbath?
Yeah, for them it's Sunday.
Yeah.
So just, you know, especially as people start coming, in our church services should be user-friendly, shouldn't they? And anyone that walks into our church needs to know what really is going on and what in the world we're talking about. And
Adra.
Yeah, yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, right. I find myself explaining that all along, all the time now, because I work Adra part, you know, half of my job is working with Adra. And so, Adra, what's that? You know, I would think they would know, but they don't. We can't just assume they know. So, yeah, we can't assume things. So let's not use abbreviations where we'll add more confusion. Yeah.
I guess when introducing you those letters there, I guess those should have been explained to them because there might have been some new people here, you know, in your address, who your position, and, you know, because those are just letters there too.
Yeah, there's, in the book, you mean? Yeah, I don't remember what, yeah. Yeah, basically, yeah, my position is I'm still in the General Conference. Half of my salary comes from GC, half from ADRA, because the General Conference now wants ADRA and the GC and the church to work more closely together. And so I've been asked to try to expedite that all over the world. And still, I'm in the GC, and I'm in ADRA, and I'm trying to find connecting points without violating the legal stipulations for funding. And as I go, I've been finding a lot of connecting points that we have somehow not capitalized on through the years. And ADRA can help the church, and the church can help ADRA. So it's a really good partnership. And yet we don't have to dissolve ACS or ADRA and make them all one. We can still stay our entities, but disconnect. Anyway, so that happened in Rwanda. I wish I had time to tell you that story. Okay, any other questions? Again, you see the next one about getting listed. How many are listed in the hotel directories in your community? is your church is listed as one of the churches. Great, great.
Also, we have a thing called the Shepherd's Guide.
Good.
It's in there.
Good. That's another place. So check out some of the major hotels around your church and ask them, and if they reprint their little book in their room where all the church lists are, can they include yours?
They should be in a telephone directory in Edmonton of all the churches. In Edmonton, I think it's in the...
It's in there? Yeah, in addition to the telephone directory, the hotel directories too, you know, where they list the churches you can worship at, or any other places. This is another good place for name recognition. And again, the next page is more of the same. And then, of course, on the web, do you have a web page that is page 22? Do you have a web page that is very appealing? And this is, yes, this is, yeah, and get somebody under 20 to help design one for you. and just, this is a key, of course, this is the way nowadays, this is the key way to connect with people. And get a good website that clearly portrays your church.
Ours has a
good, yeah, MP3s.
Mm-hmm.
Some have videos of the sermon. How many of you actually video your church service so that it can be accessed on the website? And people you meet in the community, they may never step inside your church, but they may test it by the web. How do I like the preaching there? Yeah. So this is all very, very key. Any other comments on that one? You can read all this more in detail later. Of course, going to inviting community in May, my church had a day to honor the police. This is before all the police issues that we have had recently. And 21 police came to the worship service, to the church, and they were honored and as part of the day. I think it actually was during Sabbath school. And a few years ago, we had it during church. We had police and firemen and some of the social service people come, and we honored them and thanked them as for what they're doing, and pledging our interest in partnering with them and to make the community a better place. Yeah.
And perhaps when we have the signs, maybe to think about whether people is going to see. We have one here in 26. It says holistic health. For some people, they say, "What is holistic?"
Yeah. Yeah, this is an interesting on page 26.
Yeah.
It's in line, you know. On page 25, we're talking about having people actually come to our church, and some other nice ideas. But on 26, it's talking about showing up at other events that are run by other people, not only having them come to our events, and that sends a strong message,
yeah.
A very strong message. And every time that my husband and I have done that, we've just felt so good about it. So maybe there is an organization, now Princeton Theological Seminary on this poster, running a holistic health fair. Show up.
Yeah.
Show up and represent them. And this is what we talk about, the salt. We don't want anyone to say, come into our fortress. We want to go out and mingle with the recipe of the community. And we are interested in what you're doing. And that builds a lot. Any more comments on that? Has anybody done that? Is anybody a member of civic organizations like Rotary, Kiwanis, Lions?
Well, in our Spanish church, you know where we are, in Alton.
Yeah.
It was really interesting, the pastor of the Church United Church, he has a committee, you know, with all the representatives, you know, in the area. He has the police, he has the clinics, he has the hospital. He had the schools, all the churches as well.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, we have about 30 people. I'm included because I am part of that organization. But it's very interesting, you know, how we are sending papers. And even, you know, people from the department, they are very happy they are coming. Politicians and everyone, that they are taking advantage of the organization and the way we are doing things. Because when something, you know, is happening, then we are aware of that. We have meetings twice a month.
Good.
And at the beginning, some people say, Pastor, what are you doing there? You know, because they are other churches. Mm-hmm. And you know, you have to be scared of that. Say, mm-hmm. no, I'd like to be there because yeah. I want to learn, I want to be part.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
And I tell you that I've been helping all the people, you know, for my community, Adventist Church mm-hmm. members, because sometimes they need some information. I go directly and I talk to the department.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've been doing this. And it's very, very nice, you know, like to have something, you know, a meeting. And we have food, you know, we have
a fellowship,
you know, with them. And we talk to them. That's very nice. And we have our own agenda. This is very good.
Mm-hmm. Good. This is what we're talking about, mingling, aren't we? And for me, I've been a Rotarian for years now, since 2004. And I've met some of the community people, leaders. That's where they go. To that club. So, as you know, it's a service club. It's not the Masons. Don't worry.
And I'm with the Hospital Auxiliary.
Yeah, similar.
Same kind of thing.
Yeah, and you meet the leaders, and this is, and they see that we don't have one eye in the middle of our forehead, and we're quite human, just like them, and we have very many common interests. And yeah, and it's wonderful. And most of just about all the service outreach partnerships that our local church has have come from me meeting these people in Rotary. And then I've let the church know, this organization needs partners, and da-da-da-da. And so we've gotten really involved just from that one thing. Yeah, and you had Grace.
In our area, and I'm sure it's in other areas, it's called Victim Services.
Hmm.
And my sister-in-law joined it, and now she's gone a lot of the time. Anyway, so I went through the training and joined it, and I'm just starting with it.
Mm.
But it's an excellent opportunity to be able to show the community that you're caring, because you work along with the RCMP, and if there's any kind of situation where there's a victim, you're called in to be a support.
Like everybody else in the group. And you care about the things they care about.
Yeah.
And that, again, that is, it goes a long ways.
So when you're doing your survey, you've got the police that you can ask, well, what are the problems in this community? What do you see are the needs?
Yeah. Helps you with the assessment.
Because you've already built a relationship with the boss, right?
Yeah, and they'll include our church. Yeah, it's, again, we're not only talking about them helping us, or we're talking about us helping them, and the church with the community. This is why this is the best model, as opposed, remember we had the church in the community, and the one that's just there, the church that throws out things to the community, that doesn't really mingle, and then the church with the community. And this is what you're talking about, and you're talking about, and you, and yeah.
I think it's, you know, that statement, people don't care what you know until they know that you care.
Right.
So how will they know that you care if you're just in that fortress? You go there every Sabbath, you don't interact with anybody during the week, you don't you don't show any interest in the community. How would they even know anything about you?
Right, oh, they're a secret society.
Exactly. So, you know, I think they're too good for
us. Right.
I've been convicted that, you know, when we rub shoulders with people, you know, they'll start asking questions.
Yes.
You know, what is this Seventh-day Adventist? What do you guys believe? Like,
And look what they're
not
doing.
A cult, you know?
Right.
Well, you can straighten them out.
Right.
And if they see you and you don't have that eye in the middle of your forehead, you know, like, then they trust you more.
That's right.
They trust you more.
And there's no barrier.
There's no barrier.
Yeah, we have no barrier in the Rotary. There's absolutely no barrier whatsoever. We can talk about anything. And it's
we've
open,
seen what she was talking about. We take music to our Lutheran church. It's an older congregation.
Uh-huh.
All music. So we take time. And over the period of time that we've been doing it, they have started asking more so the women and men sit different after for socialization.
Mm-hmm.
And the women have more so in the women's side have been asking, well, what do you think about that? A lot of the older people have passed away. So they're looking at this death concept, and they've been asking Grace a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, us guys get talking about, you know, politics and everything else.
But just the fact you're there with them, no matter what you talk about, is an important thing.
We've had some really neat discussions, though, with the pastor, too.
With the pastor, yeah. I've really appreciated it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And what's really neat, too, is now the Lutheran, or the United Church is saying, well, why don't you come share your music with us, too? So we've been there.
Yeah, it's really awesome. Yeah, if once you get a taste of it, you never want to get back in the fortress again and stay there. Yeah, It's so exciting. Well, we're going to have to stop here, but you see the issue of writing newspaper media. And there's a whole lot on that, page 30 and onward. There's a lot of articles you can have in your paper that the community would be interested in. So just be sure you get things in the paper about your church, and then it takes away the misconceptions. Is there any other comments? And you can read. And there's also a tip sheet, which is basically a condensation of this document we went over. 10 practical ways to raise awareness of a Seventh-day Adventist church in your community. So God bless you as you put these things into practice and experience the joy of actually doing that and getting to know these wonderful people. I know I told my Rotary Club, whenever we join a Rotary Club, we have to make what we call a classification speech. I switched over to a new one because my other one closed. And one of the things I said is Adventists, you know, I can go the whole day, the whole week, without speaking to anybody else that's not an Adventist, because I work at the world headquarters. But I just feel a need to get to know wonderful people like you. I'd be missing out on that if I didn't intentionally join a club yours.
And one thing that's very unhealthy is if we're just talking and visiting with Adventists all the time.
Yep.
Everything's seen from the same perspective.
Yeah.
I love visiting with other Christians, and they bring up different texts.
Yeah.
And it's very...
It's good for us. It helps us to grow.
It challenges us to get into our Bibles and make sure that we believe what's just
a deeper perspective.
Yes.
Yes.
And it solidifies us biblically, too, because we have to really think of how we're going to answer them. Yeah. Yes. Well, God bless you, and you're doing it already, many of you, but just keep up the good work, and it will bear fruit in due season.
Start little by little.
Yes.
That's the way, like, our church is small, and we don't have a lot of members in our church, and I'm not saying that's negative, because mm-hmm. I went to that small church thing, but, sometimes we don't have the resources or the human or financial.
Mm-hmm.
But God is a big God.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, if we just step out and just ask Him to show us where we can make that difference.
Right. He'll help you. And like the video I showed earlier, Ezekiel 47.
Yeah.
Remember the leak from the temple, the river from the temple started out just shallow, insignificant. And then it kept getting wider and wider and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Pretty soon it was huge, and nobody could swim in. Yeah. A little church can start small, but that little river can just bring healing everywhere.
And it seems like even though it's small, the relationship is intimate somehow.
Yeah, yes.
The trust base. And I don't know, it blossoms very quickly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes if we try to spread ourselves too thin, that's one thing I've gotten to, I've met a lady who... I mean, when we met, she was an alcoholic. She was like, we have been through some real deep things together.
Mm-hmm.
And, it is so exciting to me to see, sometimes I pray, Lord, I want to do something big for you. I want to be used by you. Mm-hmm. But here's this one lady. Well, if I get too busy that I don't have time to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here, just on the way up here, I got a text from her, and she's meeting with some friends who are Baha'i, which I'm not familiar with that faith.
Yeah, they're a conglomeration of many faiths all at once. Yeah.
And Iris is asking me, she says, remember we got talking about the end of the world, and you were telling me about this statue in the Bible? She says, where is that? I want to... Okay, I've been sharing a little bit with her. She's sharing with these people. They're all studying their Bibles now.
Praise the Lord.
About Daniel, or about Nebuchadnezzar and his... Said, it's like
a little
before.
Start.
If I can be, if I can reach one person, who is then going to reach
the ripple effect.
Others,
yeah.
So thank you for the blessing of being able to be with Iris and help me not to get so wanting to be involved in so many things that I neglect to spend time with her.
Yeah, ask the Lord to show us what to focus on. And then whatever we do with the community, if we've asked the community what the needs are, what the strengths are and the needs are, the one thing we choose will be relevant. And they'll be relationship based because we got it from relating to the people to find out. Yeah, well, it's exciting. And I know that the Lord will continue to use you to lift up
the Holy Spirit. His, is waking us up.
Yeah, and yeah, and once you get a taste of it, you will never want to go back to the other way. So let's have a prayer together. Dear Lord, thank you so much that we just have a wonderful message of hope that's in your word. The world needs to hear it. The world really wants it, even though they didn't initially realize they wanted it. And now in these difficult times, we know more and more hearts are looking for better things. May we be there. May we be connected with our community so that we can be the conduit to share this wonderful hope and this wonderful grace. And may we be transforming agents in our communities. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good day. We'll see you in the afternoon.
Okay, remember, over there. Over there, yeah. This will be part two. Okay.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much.